Welcome to the High Percentage Podcast, where we use data to wreck shit.
Welcome back to the High Percentage Podcast, and today we're asking the question, are we focusing too much on submissions and not enough on guard passing? So I wanted to start by asking you the question, when you went from white to blue belt, or maybe you're a white belt right now, how many submissions would you say roughly you learned? And then ask yourself, how many guard passes would you say roughly that you learned? While you're thinking of that, I wanted to mention that this show is sponsored by Keenan Cornelius's Lapel Guard Encyclopedia. I'm really excited to be able to introduce Keenan as a sponsor to this show. It's no secret that at High Percentage, we're a big fan of using systemized approaches to jiu-jitsu. There's a lot of great techniques and a lot of great positions that you can learn on YouTube or DVDs, but really where you're going to get the highest rate of return is when you take a systems-based approach and you adopt a series of techniques that all work together with some synergy to submit or dominate your opponents. Keenan is a multiple-time world champion. He won the Grand Slam as a brown belt, probably the most successful brown belt of all time at the tournament scene. And what I like about his Lapel Guard Encyclopedia, first of all, it's a fantastic program. It's 7 hours long. It's got five different guards that he showcases, and they're all really designed to work in concert with each other. And he's the only one that's teaching his style of lapel guard. That includes the worm guard, as well as some other ones that he's developed. And I mean, they're almost like proprietary to him at this point. It's a relatively new system. Not a lot of players are implementing it, which I think can really give you a technological advantage, because unlike maybe systems like the leg lock or some of the systems that are really popular right now in the meta, there just haven't been a lot of counter systems that have been developed for something like the lapel guard. So if you purchase that, you can enter the code HIGHPERCENTAGE at checkout. You'll get 10% off. That's significant because it's not a cheap program. And also, he doesn't run a lot of sales on it. So 10% off is significant. And then HIGHPERCENTAGE will get an affiliate. Enter HIGHPERCENTAGE, that's high, the word, and percent, the symbol. So high and then the percent symbol at checkout, and you'll get 10% off. So today we're talking about guard passing, and I wanted to answer the question that I posed at the beginning of the podcast just from my own perspective. So I was at one of those academies where you actually got tested from white to blue belt, and you had to demonstrate that you knew a certain amount of techniques. And I think I learned about 7 or 8 submissions, both from the bottom and the top, but I only learned one guard pass, or I should say I was only tested on one guard pass, and that was the classic double underhook stack pass. Now, I'm not saying that every academy does it that way, but I think that's a good illustration that a lot of times, in terms of the offensive tools that new students are given, they learn a lot of submissions, but they don't learn nearly as much in the realm of guard passing. And I think the thinking there on a lot of instructors' parts is that guard is a really complex game. There's a million different guards. There's a lot of different ways to pass guard and retain guard. And they'd rather focus on the fundamental submissions and then maybe give you some basic guard passing tools. But what we found at High Percentage is that maybe that's not the best approach, because guard passing, it turns out, is really, really important. And I'm going to tell you why. So we watched 100 IBJJF competition matches at the white belt level. All of these matches were in the gi, and that's an important disclaimer. We didn't do any no-gi matches for this study that I'm going to cite, but I am going to go back later and do more no-gi matches. So we watched 100 matches, and we found that 65% of the winners pass guard during their matches. Now, 65% is a pretty large statistical advantage, but it gets even deeper than that. So here's the thing about guard passing. It's not really binary, so it is completely possible for two competitors to pass each other's guard in the course of a match. But what we learned is that that rarely happens. So if you pass guard, you're probably not going to get your guard passed in the same match. And in fact, only 12% of the competitors pass guard and went on to lose their matches. And in most of those cases, that 12% that passed guard and lost anyways, it's because they still got their guard passed, so it got turned around on them. You might be wondering, how many people pass guard did not have their guard passed and still went on to lose? And the answer is only 3. So the big takeaway there is that if you pass guard, 1, you're probably not going to get your own guard passed, and 2, you're most likely going to win because BJJ is a positional game. But here's another statistic that really helps complete the picture, which is in these 100 white belt matches, only 31% of them ended in submission. So let's round that up to 33%, and let's say that 1 in 3 white belt matches are ending in submission. Given that we know that guard passing gives you a 65% chance of winning the match, and that your odds of actually finishing with a submission are 1 in 3, does it really make sense that when I was a white belt, I would learn 7 or 8 submissions and only 1 guard pass? Especially when you consider the fact that a lot of the submissions that you learn as a white belt actually require you to pass guard to be in a position to implement unless you just get lucky. Now listen, I know for most of us, offense is not the most important thing as a white belt, and that's fine. As a white belt, it makes total sense that you would have a defense-heavy training. You'd focus on your strip escapes, your oompas, and just your kind of defensive posture overall. But what that means is that you have to be much more selective when deciding what offensive tools to add into your arsenal. And I think the data makes a good case that you actually should put submissions quite a bit farther down the ladder of priorities, and you should focus on guard passing and being able to control the positions after the guard pass, which is like side control, mount, and the back mount. That's all for this podcast. If you want to check out all the articles that we've published over on the website, you can go to highpercentagemartialarts.com. If you want to get in contact with us, I'm at highpercentagemartialarts@gmail.com. We also have a Facebook page where we update with all of our articles, our podcasts, and I even do a Facebook Live once a week where we watch tournaments and matches in real time and do some of the data recording so you can get a little insight into our process. I should mention that if you want to keep track with other projects that I'm involved in, I'm the managing editor of a great website called ujujitsu.com. I write articles on there, and also I help corral the other writers. We try to put out quality content every week. And I've also written a book called The True Believers. It's available on Amazon. You can just Google The True Believers, Lewis Martin. It's kind of a biography of my early martial arts training in Monterey. Check that out. Thank you for listening to this, and we'll see you next week on the High Percentage Podcast.